This is a tale of two types of trees
and the fruit that they each bear.
It explores the question, why isn't my life producing what I want?
The trees represent what we put into our relationships. The fruit is what comes out of those relationships.
Those relationships can be in our family, in our work, or with our friends.
But today's tale takes place in a nation, in the kingdom of Israel, when no trees were bearing fruit.
Once upon a time, when David was king of Israel, there was no food in the land.
The wheat didn't ripen and the trees were empty.
After 3 years of no harvest, King David asked God why the plants gave no fruit.
God explained that the former king of Israel, King Saul, was guilty of having killed the Gibeonites.
To understand this, let's go back 300 years before King David to when the Hebrew people first came to the Promised Land.
When the Hebrew people came to the Promised Land, it was already full of many other people called the Canaanites.
The Hebrew people fought with the Canaanites, and one by one, either drove them out
or destroyed them.
But there was one group of Canaanites who recognized that God was with the Hebrew people. And so instead of fighting the Hebrews, these Canaanites agreed to serve God and the Hebrew people by being wood gatherers and water carriers for the temple. This group of Canaanites were called Gibeonites.
The Hebrew people promised that the Gibeonites would always have peace with them.
But a few hundred years later, when Saul was king, he wanted to seem strong, so he picked on someone who was weak, someone who was different. He picked on the Gibeonites.
The Bible doesn't give us details on exactly what King Saul did, but it is clear that he tried to exterminate an ethnic minority in order to make himself and his nation look more powerful.
Historians call this ethnic cleansing.
In Russia, they call it a pogrom.
In the United States, we call it a mass lynching.
According to records maintained by the NAACP, from 1882 to 1968, 4,743 lynchings occurred in the U.S.
They happened here in California.
They happened when a mob blamed a person of color for a crime for which they had not been convicted.
White people also were lynched when they helped people of color.
Lynchings were more than hanging a person from a tree. They were social gatherings.
Communities would gather in the shadow of a hanging tree to have picnics, take pictures as postcard souvenirs, and to celebrate that by hanging a person on a tree, they had set the world right.
The people who gathered at lynchings may not have been the people who did the killing, but they permitted it and endorsed it.
It seems so obviously wrong when we aren't a part of it.
Yet the truth is, the ability to participate in a lynching is within each of us.
When our anger boils over, that the world is not as it should be,
we look for someone to blame.
When for all our efforts we aren't moving up,
we look for someone to tear down.
When we are convinced we are entirely right,
it only makes sense to hurt those who are wrong.
We will never string someone up with a rope, likely, but how often do we do so with our words?
How often do we pin the blame for our problems on someone else?
How often do we try to elevate our society by tearing down those who are different from us?
How often do we laugh and celebrate the suffering of those with whom we disagree?
On some level, we believe that hanging someone else on a tree will bear good fruit.
In 1939, the musical legend Billie Holiday recorded a song written by Abel Meeropol describing the belief that a community could harvest good fruit from a tree that hangs a body.
It's called Strange Fruit, and we'll hear it now.
Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black black bodies swinging in the southern breeze, strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant South, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the sun to rock, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange and bitter cry.
Billie Holiday sings the truth.
When we hang someone else on a tree, it only bears strange fruit.
In Luke 6:43, Jesus teaches that we can't get good fruit from a bad tree.
We can't get good ends from bad means.
It is true in family trees, and it is true in the trees of our nation.
King Saul hanged the Gibeonites on a tree. God will not permit this to go unanswered.
And so God says, now Israel has only strange fruit.
But King Saul is dead and gone. His rival David is now king.
David may not be at fault, but the longer he permits Saul's sins to go unanswered, the longer blood stays at the root of his nation's trees, and they only bear strange fruit.
So King David went to set things right. King David went to bring forth good fruit for his country.
David approached the Gibeonites and asked what he could do to set things right, what reparations he could make so that there would be good fruit once more in his land.
The Gibeonites told David, "Don't worry.
They don't want money. They don't want to kill his countrymen. Their quarrel was only with Saul and his family."
All the Gibeonites asked was that David would hang 7 sons of Saul.
And David is all too happy to agree.
Saul may be dead, but his family still functions as a political party opposed to David.
By hanging 7 sons of Saul from trees, David gets to claim that he is righting a historical wrong.
And he also gets rid of his political opponents.
So on wooden stakes, David hangs 1 descendant.
2 descendants.
3.
4.
5.
6.
7.
Descendants of King Saul.
Punishing a group or whole community for the crimes of one or some members of the community is called collective punishment.
The 4th Geneva Convention declares collective punishment to be a war crime.
Yet throughout history,
and even today,
collective punishment is common in our world.
We have seen it play out over the past year in the same setting as 2 Samuel.
It's not difficult to understand why.
Sometimes someone has hurt you or your community so badly that hurting that one person doesn't feel like enough. Their community needs to suffer also.
Sometimes, like with Saul and the Gibeonites, the person who has hurt you is long dead.
You can't bring the responsible person to justice.
All you can do is get even.
You can hurt the people they loved in the way that they hurt the people you loved.
Getting even is called vengeance.
By hanging seven sons of Saul on behalf of the Gibeonites, David plants seven trees of vengeance.
But after this, God does not bless Israel. God does not end the famine.
The tree of vengeance can only take life, not give it.
When we hang someone else on a tree, it only bears strange fruit.
Jesus teaches that we cannot get good fruit from a bad tree.
We can't get good ends from bad means.
It is true in family trees, and it's true in the trees of our nation.
King David hanged the sons of Saul on trees of vengeance. Then, as now, the tree of vengeance bears only strange fruit.
What alternative is there?
2 Samuel 21:10 tells us,
Rizpah, a concubine of Saul, a mother of two of the men that David hanged, protected the seven bodies.
From harvest time until the season of rain, about 6 months, Rizpah stood over the bodies of Saul's seven sons.
She made sure no birds pecked their eyes and no wild animals ate their flesh.
She planted herself like a tree beside the water, and she would not be moved.
But the goodness of Rizpah's deed moved David.
David took down the bodies which he had hanged.
But King David didn't stop there. He also collected the bodies of King Saul and his son Jonathan.
Saul and Jonathan had been killed by Israel's enemies, the Philistines, who left their bodies hanging on a wall.
Though Hebrews from a small town had recovered the remains, David had been happy to leave the body of his political opponent far from home.
But Rizpah's act of mercy towards the bodies of Saul's sons planted a seed of mercy in David's heart.
That seed grew into a tree that bore the fruit of mercy.
David gathers the remains of Saul and his sons. He gives them proper burial in the family tomb close to the capital of Jerusalem.
David plants himself in Rizpah's image as a tree of mercy.
Saul was a sinner, yes, who defied God, betrayed David, and committed atrocities against the Gibeonites.
Ignoring his crimes did not bear good fruit.
Vengeance for his crimes did not bear good fruit.
But an act of mercy that acknowledged his crimes and accepted Saul's corpse as part of his country's heritage, which needed repenting, that brought good fruit.
Jesus teaches no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit.
King Saul's act of violence bears only more violence.
David's act of death bears only death.
But Rizpah's act of mercy bears mercy.
It bears the fruit of mercy in David, and from that mercy comes life.
At last, 2 Samuel says, after that, God heeded supplications for the land.
Finally, there was good fruit in Israel.
Justice is neither permissiveness nor vengeance.
Permissiveness allows sins to continue with no consequence.
Permissiveness ignores the wrong, buries it, and hopes that good will grow despite the blood at the roots.
Vengeance seeks to inflict the sin upon the sinner to get even.
Vengeance seeks to use two wrongs to make a right in hopes that the scent of magnolias, sweet and fresh, will come from the smell of burning flesh.
Justice is neither of these.
Justice doesn't make things invisible, and it doesn't make things even.
Justice makes things whole.
Sometimes the perpetrator can make things whole by returning what they took or rebuilding what they destroyed.
Death cannot be rebuilt. A life cannot be returned.
You cannot make one person whole by making a hole in another.
And so sometimes justice must look like mercy.
Mercy is the recognition of sin. It holds up the perpetrator and the wrong for all to see, but it does not leave them there to hang. Mercy gives life back to the one who deserves to lose it.
mercy is holy, for mercy makes us whole.
Romans 3:23 states, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
In Jesus, God responds with neither permissiveness nor vengeance.
On the cross, Jesus makes visible our sin for the world to see, and yet he gladly gives his own life rather than take ours.
Jesus proclaims that if anyone must hang for the lack of good fruit in this world, let it be him.
Jesus becomes the tree of mercy, the tree of life, whose leaves heal the nations and whose fruit is salvation.
It is only by planting this tree that we will stop eating strange fruit.
It is only from the seeds of this tree that cycles of violence will cease.
That is true in the world. It is true in our families. It is true in ourselves.
We may not know how to achieve the right ends, but Jesus shows us it is enough to focus on the right means.
Rizpah's one good deed of mercy changed a nation.
Jesus teaches no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit.
Which type of tree are you planting?
May we plant trees of mercy and eat of their fruit. Amen. Mm-hmm.